Okay, so last week we noted... you're going to have to tell me how far we got through this.
Oh.
But we... I'm pretty sure we got up to 12. But we noted two questions that have to be asked about Maradasra and rabbinic authority in a globalized world, right? One is dealing with the breakdown of localized authority and thereby the lack of... The lack of an assumption that you're bound by an authority, right, by a specific authority, because once you break down those barriers, if you have a classic Maradasa, you are bound by the psukim of the rabbi of the place. Once you break that down, you don't. The second question is, you theoretically could have argued that in a globalized world, there is no any person which has localized authority, and say no one really has authority in that sense, right? There aren't communities in that way, and the whole system works differently. Or you can then reconstitute along ideological lines and create some virtual equivalent. I mean, we noted that to reconstitute, to go to that second move, you have to note that within that, there's really two parts to it. One is, can the posek be not local? And the second is, can the community not be geographic? And we noted that the Rajba already introduced the possibility that a geographic community can have a non-local posek, or not even a live posek, even if that's not technically exact like Maradasra.
No.
But that leads to the possibility that you also brought in the notion of community. But once you're talking about community and identity and social ties, etc., and not geography, we're talking about a category that requires the voluntary association, as Roy Lam refers to it, of the people to enter into the community. But what I want to analyze a few things that I think are less obvious about this. Because if I asked you, assuming that this is correct, that these models are correct, what exactly are the implications of it? And is it a good thing? And what do we lose? Right? What do we lose from a geographic model? Right? Meaning, even if you can argue that this is the model, what have we lost something? So what do you think?
I would say yes.
Okay, good. What?
The geographic thing is what you're saying as far as having a map to a city?
So let me...
The authoritative position of a Maradasa.
So let me be even more precise. What have we lost? And is it possible to reconstitute that? And those are two different questions, right? You could say there are certain things we lost, but we could solve by saying, you know what? Despite the fact that we could justify removing the category of Maradasa from geography entirely, we won't, because we recognize the cost of getting rid of geographic considerations. And there are other things where you could say, look, there's no going back. We just lost something.
In Israel, there is a chance. Like in the Yishuvim.
So actually, in Israel, there was a different attempt that by early Zionist post-com to claim that the chief rabbi was the Maradasa of the country. It was a totally different model.
It's not going to be accepted.
Well, that was what Lichtenstein pointed out, was that the question of whether he was accepted is not the same question as whether you think he should have been accepted, and he wasn't. That's true.
I think what we lost is that the Maradasa is not forced upon the people. I don't know if that's a good thing, but it's a change. That now you basically choose your Maradasa.
Good. So one thing could just be that if you think this is true, what we've lost is this notion. And this is sort of what we've been talking about is, yeah, you've lost the notion of imposed heteronomy, which maybe there's something to it, right? Maybe we really want it. We want people to not feel like they have total freedom to choose their posek. We want people to, maybe that's part psychologically of it. Now, and I think that might be true.
So you
could say
a guy that constantly is giving you kumras or kulas.
Right, meaning if you can't choose, because that's the local authority, there is a certain
It takes away your it takes away your bias. Let me pick this guy because he gives me cool advice.
Well, that's exactly the point. Then you're not.
Well, that's the point. Is that Zeb is saying maybe we've lost that? So that might be true. Now we've also, I think we've lost some other things that are
I'm saying nowadays you basically choose a Mord Osser based on your ideological leanings.
Which again, there's something gained and something lost. I think you're right. Yeah. Now, I'll point out there's something meta that's also lost that several people pointed out when I've given different shiurim on, you know, I've talked about globalization and its effects on a lot of different areas. One of the things I think it's changed is also there is a downside to redefining community in general geographically. From geography to identity. It's the same problem you have on Facebook, right? Is the echo chamber. Is that if your community are the people you agree with, right? The beauty of a geographic community, like Yaakov can tell you this, right? A community or Yudi can tell you this, right? I've heard it from both of you at different points. The beauty of a place like Richmond where it's too small for everyone to create their own niche community is that community can include different types of people, which doesn't always happen when you have the ability to just create a community based on ideological ties. Right? There's actually something socially, religiously, psychologically beneficial to being forced into a community for reasons other than I like them and I agree with them to begin with. Right? There is something lost, which I think you can't deny. Right? There's something that's I mean, I think that's just a reality. But in the Psak sphere, I think there are other things that are lost in a very... this sort of relates to what Zev said, right? Is that part of that is this halachic... Is that maybe part of the benefit of Amar D'Asra was that disparate people were forced to follow the same type of practice and create a united community, even if they weren't naturally the same, right? There is something powerful about that, which obviously doesn't happen, as you can choose your niche community, both in your shul and in your, right, and in your virtual community and everything. There's something lost there, something gained and something lost. There's some other things, though. A fascinating point that was brought up in this regard was by Rabbi Brody years ago. So let me give you the background. When I first gave this year, I didn't have to give the background because it was happening. But now you guys are it's 7 years after that happened. So it was the great girls wearing tefillin controversy of 2014, I'm sorry. So basically what had happened was that... I think it was SAR. SAR and Ramaz were both... I think it was SAR was involved and Ramaz was asked to weigh in. But it didn't actually happen there, but it could have been... I could have flipped that. The question was asked whether two girls could wear tefillin. Now, the particular reason that the question was asked and it came up wasn't just that they wanted to wear tefillin because... they weren't Orthodox, right? It wasn't... These were schools that accept people who aren't Orthodox, especially on the... Right? SAR and Ramaz tend to be comfortable places for, like, traditional conservative, right? People who... Right? Like, old-school conservative...
So it's a school run by the Orthodox.
Yeah, these are Orthodox schools, but they... Right? It's not a community school. It's an Orthodox school, but they allow people in who are not Orthodox as long as they are somewhat halachically observant and old-school conservative and... Right, there still are people like that. It's a shrinking community. People who are really serious about alcohol in the conservative community. But there is still, right? I've mentioned to you several times probably that in Toronto this is still much more the case than in Toronto.
There are anymore?
Yes.
The young conservative.
It's a different story. So not as much. But like
the older rabbis.
Not just the rabbis. I don't just mean the rabbi. I mean the balabatim. I'm saying, in Toronto, the COR told me that 70% of the kosher consumers are not Orthodox, right, which is a huge number, right? Meaning most of the people who keep, most of the the conservative community, the affiliated non-Orthodox community still keeps kosher, which is a big deal. It's honestly true like that in America.
What are you defining as conservative?
The people who affiliate with the conservative movement go to conservative shuls, right? But they keep kosher. Right, meaning I'm purposely using conservative here in terms of identity with a movement.
I mean, like in
Toronto, I'm saying there are cities like this. And again,
but
in a place like New York, it's big enough that even if it's the minority, right? If you have a million Jews, right? So even if, and you, let's say you had, I don't know, right? If you have 0.1% of those people are like this, or 0.01% of these people, it's still going to be enough people that they could be in a school, right? Like this is.
If
sort of it's like the conservative synagogues in Richmond.
I know. I'm not saying there's a majority. This is the facts on the ground. This was the case. There were two girls who were conservative, right? They were in, I think it was SAR, but I could be mixing up, but I'm pretty sure it was SAR. And they wanted to write to not... Right, you couldn't bring in the argument, oh, they're rebelling against the Orthodox Jewish. They're just not Orthodox, right? Dafka, it's the opposite, right? They are not from the Orthodox community, and they're choosing to go to an Orthodox school because the Torani component, right, the Torani level of the conservative schools is not what they want, or maybe for other reasons, but, right, so there wasn't, right, it wasn't like, it became a big political issue because they said you can wear tefillin, right? That was basically the conclusion was they could wear tefillin. I don't remember exactly how it worked out, what they could do in private, whatever it was, but they came up with something. Okay, that was the psak. Okay? Doesn't matter. But in that context... He saw an opportunity. Ray Brody noted the following problem. When psak was local, right, we forget this. And I think there's something we just forget. When psak was local, the postake had the benefit of giving a personal psak without the fear that this would have global consequences. Because, right, you could say, look,
it's my town.
It's my town. I know you. Do it in private. No one will know. No one will find out. And you could do that. The problem is that once you recognize a model, realistically, that people are turning to post from around the world, there is no longer such a thing as a personal psak. So ironically, it takes away the autonomy or the freedom of the posek and the shoel, meaning it used to be that part of the geographic model was that poskim could give psakim that were right for the individual, even if they would be wrong on a global scale. But once realistically psak is global, heterim, right? We always think of it, oh, globalized, you can find a kula anywhere. That might be true, but it also means that because everybody knows that the second they give a kula, the whole world might find out about it and someone might take advantage of it who they don't want to. Suddenly the posek loses their autonomy to give a localized kula, which they think is right in this situation, but they don't think is right and shouldn't be publicized. Right, and there is a real loss, and this is one of those things, I don't think there's any turning back. Right, this is just a reality. Right, we could go back to Mara Dasra and say, listen to your local rabbi, and this would still be true. Because this isn't a function of halachic authority as much as it is about communication. Just the realities. Nothing's ever going to be kept quiet, ever. Right, ever. Right, I remember that once... Slightly different but related point, that somebody told me that he once had a... he was in yeshiva, and there was a shaila that came up. It was a bit cutting edge, a little bit, you know, controversial. And his Rebbe, who was like young, in his 30s, naniach, I don't know, wanted broad shoulders for the shaila. So he asked, I think it was Ravram Shapira. Ravram Shapira was the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz. Right, he wanted someone with broad shoulders. And Ravram Shapira said, this is a shaila to be answered by someone with a black beard and not a white beard. Why? What was his svara? Right. Normally we think the opposite, right? The higher up the chain you go, the better a psak you're going to get. But he said, no, certain things, you want them to remain. That guy's Rebbe told him, it's who cares, right? Once things go to the posek, they become global, right? Rav Avram Shapira once gave a heter. He didn't want that to happen. He thought, maybe this is a localized psak for your yeshiva, your bachur, it's fine, right? But he didn't want to give a psak because he knew Rav Avram Shapira gives a heter, and everyone will say, what do you mean? How could you say it just for them? If it's somebody's local rebbe, local rabbi, local this, it's a local psak, right? The Gadol Hador says it, right? Zeu. And we've lost that, right? We've lost, and I know this, right? I'll tell, right? This is, right? One of the reasons I avoid poskening whenever I can, right, is because I just know that no matter what I'm going to say, if it gets out, someone's going to be angry at me, and I just don't need that.
Zerin told me I could have kidneys on Pesach.
I did not tell you you could have kidneys on Pesach. I didn't. See, this is the problem. You're going to say, you're going to scream it into the recorder. I tell you, I once had this. I once had this.
Did I not have said that?
It's fine. I just corrected it in the recording. I once had this. I was giving shiur in Toronto, and I said something about Rav Schechter's Pesach, and someone yelled, like into the recorder. Everybody knows that You'll always get a different answer every time you ask her Schechter. And I'm like, I can't have that on record, but who was it? It was Yami Schechter. It's Rav Schechter's son. So someone next to him had to scream into the recorder, that is Rav Schechter's son. It's Rav Schechter's son. Right? You can't, like, it's just a different, right? You always have to be careful in these recordings. I didn't say that, okay?
Well, I can't believe he said that about his father.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I mean, it's true that Rav Schechter was someone to change his mind. He's a very creative posek, and sometimes he just, you know, comes up with a new chiddush. A new chiddush, a new fact, a new something, whatever. Okay. But if you look at Ray Brody, this is what he writes. I think he put it very well, and he wrote, these arguments also raise the question of whether legal rulings, particularly those of great social sensitivity, can and should take into account individual situations which may or may not impact a given ruling. Rabbi Melamed and Rabbi Henkin discuss one potential situation.
Rabbi Eliyahu Henkin?
I think he's talking about Rabbi Yehuda Herzl, the current Rabbi Henkin, I think. There's been a long time since I looked at what he was talking about. I like cut this quote out. I think it's Yehuda Herzl, though. Where a generally pious woman insists that this would be beneficial for her religious growth and is willing to don tefillin in private. Other complex situations might include schools or other educational environments, pluralistic institutions like Hillel houses, potential kirov opportunities or challenges, keeping someone from leaving Orthodoxy, and a host of other questions.
In private? Why does the school care?
Because the psak will get out. That's the problem.
So this whole thing about the Ramaz was them putting tefillin on in private? It wasn't even in, like, school
dominant? I don't remember exactly how it was. I think it was, like, it was in school but not during... I forget what it was exactly. I have to look back what their decision was. So there was a lot of debate. I don't remember what was theoretical models and what they actually said anymore. One could argue that all psak, legal rulings to specific questions, must remain local and individualized, thereby preventing a given individual's needs from being overlooked in the face of a larger legal and social battle in which the individual may have no stake or interest. One might counter, however, that in our hyper-connected world, the notion of a fully individualized psak is not feasible, especially in sensitive areas of halakha. One must assume that any psak given to an individual will be misinterpreted as a global statement or taken as a precedent for others. The brouhaha created in the current case points to the great difficulty of issued... From now on, you're going to be using that word. I know. Yes. I mean, you always have to be careful with these words. It's like, are you dating yourself? Right? I feel like this is like Biden's problem, right? Right? His Joe Biden, the current... current presidential candidate, previous vice president, but the fact that he put on his bus in Iowa, he's calling it the Malarkey Tour. Like, who used the word malarkey anymore? Honestly, right? Anyways, he says the great difficulty of issuing individual rulings, particularly when tefillin are worn in a public context. Right? Brody told me he's like he felt dated when he asked the Tikva group. I guess you can ask Avi about this. If you could pick any historical era to live in, what era would you talk about? And one of the girls said the late 19th century. Everybody's like, you mean when I was in Shana Aleph? That's a different era. Yeah. Whatever. You know. So.
What?
Late 1900s, rather. 1900s. Like the 1990s. Which, that's not a different era. I mean, I guess it is at this point. Right? That's when I grew up. Sure. It was not 30 years ago. I'm 30.
Yes.
No. The beginning of the 90s, we're just under 30 years ago. Thanks. Yes, I know.
Yeah. They had good hip hop back then, so I'll go back to that.
Yes, great hip hop. What? Okay. 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 Now, so go back up to Shut Mary Ben Leif. He writes, The Mary Ben Leif said the following very surprising comment, but this sort of pushes in the direction. He says, look, there's another cost to this. What? And this comes back to Zeb's point. What? What? Yeah. So he's, this is what he says. Listen to his argument. It's a very interesting argument. He says, what gave people the right to rely on their Rebbe, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra? Zev's point, which was?
That it was imposed
on them. Correct. Meaning, you lived in a makom, and you had a posek. And he points out that, and I think this is what he's getting at, that the lack of autonomy you had is what made it legitimate for you to rely on minority kulot. Why? Because there was no lack of integrity, right? You weren't following this Rebbe because of his kulot, right? You didn't choose to move the place with the rabbi who had all the kulos. You lived in a city, you took his chumros, you took his kulot, and therefore taking his kulot wasn't a lack of integrity. It was just what it was. But he says nowadays, once you globalize things, there's always an element of choice. Our Rebbeim, he says, you're not really under their authority. We all have books. We all have right access to things. And that means that you can't with integrity say, well, what can I do? His authority is enforced on me, and therefore it's legitimate for me to follow his unique kula against the whole world. He says, he's not sure. He thinks it's not true. Because he thinks once you're in a globalized world, already in his time, then what happens? And again, I don't know if I would take it as far as him, but he says, now you have to follow the normal rules of Psak. It's burning. That makes me nervous now. Right?
Kitchen.
Someone make sure there's nothing, no fire in the kitchen.
Motion, is there a fire in the kitchen?
But something's burning. I don't know. I mean, there are people in there, so I'm going to say it's fine.
What time would it be in the yeshiva
column? Anyways. Oh, Kavald. Anyways, so.
New beautiful yeshiva on the floor.
We had the first mikvah.
Okay.
If you're going with it, then there's no.
Good. So that, I think, would have been the response. Right? I mean, the Ma'ariv ben Leiv takes a very radical approach, which is, once this is not true, once you're in a globalized world, you no longer have the right or responsibility to only pay attention to your local posek.
Why? So, I don't understand his point, though.
Yeah.
Now, you're right. I think you could have countered. Right? This is the Mari Baal's argument.
What is
right?
His argument?
Right, his argument is that in a world where authority was imposed geographically, so it was fine to say you took a kula. But right. Nowadays, we all... I mean, what was his argument? That when it was imposed geographically, the other options weren't live for you. Yeah. And therefore, it's legitimate. But he says now, because we have books, we have access to everything... All the positions are live to you.
How is that an argument against reinstating Modas?
No. I'm just saying he's saying this is the consequence. No, this is a consequence. Right now. I'm not sure he's right, because if you think you can reconstitute Morad Asra, either geographic or even ideological, you're saying that right it would restore the integrity. He's saying right, he's not focusing on integrity. He's more focusing on are these live options? If they're live options, then you have to go by the normal rules of Psak, which is the Raya Achra Machmir. I think you could respond and say this won't affect modern Morad Asra. That by Daraisa says you have to go by Lechumra.
Daraisa.
Ironically, it would come out that Darabana you have Rabbi Shal Torah Lechachamach, Rabbi Darabana you go by Lekula. Or that's what Biot say.
Right?
That you'd follow the normal rules of Psak. Now,
you personally would have to decide. Like you would look at
you would, right, now you'd have to be exposed to and take into account the broader thing. And again, I think you could argue that this is not true. That you could say, look, maybe how we define Morad Asra nowadays is different, but once you've chosen a posek, you have that legitimacy, because maybe the din wasn't about the imposition as opposed to creating a holistic system, right? Kedivrei Beit Shammai, Kikula Ein V'Chumrein, Kikula Beit Hillel, right? That could be the model that's more going on. Now, there is an interesting debate, which I don't think I put here. Yeah, I don't think I actually put here, which was, does the globalized world and our access to information, does that mean that you have more Rebbeim nowadays? Right? Because now I have my Rebbe and this, my Rebbe and that, and I have no real Rav Mufak, right? Which is how one group of posts can take it, or the Aruch HaShulchan goes the opposite, which is, when you have so much information, right, your Mufak is whoever teaches you how to learn, because information is cheap. And the person who gives you a derech is your Rebbe. Now that has certain consequences here, right, in terms of who you line up with, right? Do you dafka have more Rebbeim because of specialization and things like that, right? Or less Rebbeim because information is cheap and your Rebbe is the person you picked a derech from, right? Which is it? You could really see it both ways. It could go both ways. I think at some level you'll see that different people have different ones. Okay. I don't... What?
He's saying there's no idea
I don't think so. I don't know if he's saying that. Again, you know, you'd have to tease out, right? You'd have to tease out the consequences of this and whether he really thinks that or he thinks that within certain parameters. Okay. Another point, I think this is obvious, is Ray Helfgott notes that at least in the context of a shul, practices in the shul seem to still be under some sort of localized geographic thing, right? Like, once a shul has a custom, whatever you think about like the rest of your life, like a classic Mardasra determined the psak for the community in and out of shul. Right? Ray Helfgott notes that even if that's not true, the notion that the rabbi decides the psak in the shul, that's probably still true, though in Israel, to be fair, not so much. Right? In Israel where you have
a central rabbi in the shul, it's not true.
Well,
if you have a central rabbi,
do they control you? Do they tell you what they're doing?
That's not clear.
In the shul.
Yeah. Though in Israel, like I said, in Israel, it's just more accepted that people, even within shul, right? I daven Ashkenazi, I get up for the Amud, I daven Ashkenazi, right? This Friday gets up for the shul, for the Amud, he daven Sephardi, right? It is more common for even within shul to have less.
Well, that's because that's the psak of the shul.
No, whatever, that's just what it is. And therefore, you know, or really, he says anything that would create public strife, you could make this argument as well. Right? He writes, it would seem, however, that public manifestation of practice that fly in the face of the accepted custom of a specific town, or in our contemporary context, synagogues would not be sanctioned. Such action would contradict the principles outlined in the fourth chapter of Psachim, require one who moves to a new locale to accept the public practice of the community that one is now residing in. Special public actions to the contrary would cause discord and strife. Okay, I think that's true. Rav Henkin Sr.
But isn't that just by man?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is minhag psak. I would just say that point is probably true, right? That's just a point worth making. An interesting taina. So there's an interesting point that Rav Henkin makes. Senior. So who's senior? Senior Rav Henkin.
The one that Rabbi Chaito was.
Yes, he was the post. He was the main posek in America before Moshe Feinstein. Okay. Not in America. Rav Henkin was in Europe. Rav Henkin was in America. Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin.
So he spoke. Did he speak English?
Yeah, I think so. I think he spoke English. Actually, no. I think he did, but maybe I'm wrong.
Is that interesting, though, that people speak English?
Well, a lot of the people spoke Yiddish. A lot of people after the war. Anyways. Okay, please stop using people without their title rabbi. He was the Gadol Hador in America. Can we?
I said, is he the Rev Henkin?
You said the Henkin. No, the Rev Henkin, yeah. You swallow it. He deserves titles.
Is he the Rev Henkin who discusses the idea?
No, that's his grandson. Yes, Rabbi Yosef, that's you. Maybe you heard of Herzl Henkin, the one who's alive. But Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin was awesome. Now he
is that the Yovadia Yosef?
Okay, guys. So he actually had a really surprising psak. He really disliked, and this was like an early version of this, he really disliked anybody answering Shilas over the phone. He thought this was a travesty. This is terrible. Why? Yeah. His point was that, and you'll see that there is a truth to this, and again, I don't know if I would go as far as him. Now, the Mishnah Halacha takes this and paskins this as a firm halacha, not like advice, but the Mishnah Halacha does a lot of things like that. You know...
That's not good.
Yeah, anyways. But I think the points he makes are important are important in this context, and he writes as follows. Mitzvah al-Seya, I mean, this is the last source, from Ezra Yisrael. Al-Minui Shoftim, Noheged Gam B'chutzlaretz, L'fachot B'chol Pelech U'Pelech, V'av Bizman Azeh. But the notion of setting up local authorities is true, at least in general regions, right? The Gemara distinguishes between cities and regions, but okay. Even nowadays, but feel welcome. Sheish tamidei chachamim, ain't a kal niftar lo not miuchadim lekach. Even if there are a bunch of them, they come and run around. You need an authority. Why? Ubo unitzaveach al harbe arim ukrachim gedolim shuba America. Let's scream about a lot of these big cities in America. Sheish baem arbe shomrei Torah. They have a lot of people who keep Torah. Ubechol ze einam mimaneim lohem Dayanim umorei tzedek b'kiyim b'horaav v'divrei Torah. But they don't appoint poskim. Now, I was talking to Ray Willig when I was in America, and I said that my shul had just asked me to write an opinion piece to convince the shul that we need a rabbi, which is not a given in Israel, to write an opinion piece about why I think the shul should have a rabbi. So I did. The shul voted to have a rabbi by an overwhelming majority, which is not a given, but okay.
In a frill?
Yeah. But it was hysterical because Ray Willig said to me, he's like, Mishnah Berurah says so. What more do you need than that? I'm like, Rebbe, that's really just not going to fly. Like, you might be right, but that's not going to... I mean, whatever. Maybe in the shul would have flung because they accepted it. But he says, look. He says, Umashet ma she amatla bifihem she bichtei lahargila doratzer le'adun rachemim lo tzirim matifim ba'angle. Now he says something interesting. He says, let me explain. It's not they don't have rabbis. They do. They're just not telling me they chachamim. They are good speakers in English. And everyone says, oh, what do you need a posek? You need a rabbi who speaks English. That's what we need. Right? Meaning he's specifically angry about they're not being local poskim. Not local rabbis, local poskim. This is his critique. He says, Hine yatifu lehem kenafsham. He's very sharp. He says, let them give drashot as much as they want. Right? The Rebbe Yitkare. Fine. Give drashot. We'll call you rabbi. Right, whatever kavod you want, I'll give it to you.
What kind of Hebrew is this?
What? This is rabbinic Hebrew, right? This is a bit of Aramaic, right? It's very harsh. He's saying, look, you want to give shirim in English, you want to give fancy drashot, you want me to call your rabbi, you got it. That doesn't count as appointing a posek. One shul can't afford a posek. So let a bunch of shuls in the area get a mardas or a posek. Someone who has authority to judge, to force people, to coerce. The Ein Baldin Yachol Ishtameit, where people can't run away. Right? He said one of the things that's lost at a local posek, right, we know this, is the ability of a posek to say, you need to come to court, you're doing something wrong, you need to be told off, right? Israel. And he said there's all these things where there isn't one person, so what are you going to do about Mamanot, about Ishros, etc.? Alright, so first he says, look, the problem is going to be, you're not, right, especially like Gittin, right? A husband doesn't want to give a get, so which Beis Din is responsible to force him? This is a problem, right, in Brooklyn. Right? The reason there's so many Masarve get in Brooklyn is because, so one shul puts him in Cherem, and then he just davens in a different shul, and that puts him in Cherem, will daven in a different shul, they'll never know. Or daven in a million different shtibles. Without an authority figure that controls the region, right, you lose things that require coercion. So that's one point, which I guess, yes, you lose that. Okay. In some communities they do, in some communities they don't. In Teaneck, there are no Misarve get that have managed to survive being Misarve get because the entire community accepted that they're not going to let people be mocking their wives. In Brooklyn, that has not been the approach, and therefore there are many Misarve get running around. That's, you know, husbands refuse to give their wives a get even when Beis Din has already said that they must. It's terrible. It's terrible when it happens. It's terrible. That's why you should sign the prenup. Okay, I've given my speech. Let's go on. I said this more than once. I'll remind you every time.
Does everybody hold on this prenup idea?
You're asking my opinion? You should sign it.
I don't know. I'm saying, like, is this, like, a divide between modern Orthodox and, like, Haredi Poskim?
Between modern Orthodox and some Haredi Poskim. Very serious Haredi Poskim also signed on to it. Like Rosh Weiss and, you know, Rizimbalist and, like, different, you know, Dayan, whatever. You know, very serious Dayan. Yes. Rizalman Chaim Goldberg was, you know, involved. Right, not, you know. This wasn't, like, modern Orthodox versus Haredi. This was modern Orthodox and many Haredi Poskim against some others. Long story. You can go online, you can see it. Okay.
You don't want to tell me.
No, I don't. V'al kol panim, I don't actually know, he might, but I'm not sure. V'al kol panim, k'shegi li yad rav p'tur, et t'sarach lachor, chadayin, miu, mahu, fine. And then he says another thing. Now, the first point, okay, I admit, that's something we've lost, the ability to coerce. Yes, okay. Malasot. Though, I think I've mentioned to you that that's not fully true, because based on the Bezdin Haifa's psak, social media actually creates the ability to recreate coercion, because no one can really escape, right? You can attack them through Everett, right? You can attack their business, you can attack their reputation, and it's very hard to escape, so that actually does create a similar dynamic, but okay. But then he says the following, lo yafe osim elo aponim b'sheilot al yedei telephone. I don't like these people who paskin based on telephone. Umalimim et shmam umikomam, and hide their name and place. B'chdei leftor azman b'lesam ba'ol rabanut, she'estar chulisa k'shifnu panim b'fanim, k'sholim et arab panim b'fanim, az yesh lo zman layim b'sefer limalech. He said, because if you ask a rabbi locally, in person, so what can he do? Say, I'll look it up, come back to me, clarify questions. Vim is damein sharav choser bo merato, and if the rabbi decides he was wrong, changes his mind, you can find the person to make a mistake and correct the mistake. Masha English, can all you day telephone b'chipazon. But if you're calling, you know that, a hotline, you're asking a shayla online, right? Once it's out there, it's done. So I know rabbis who don't answer on the telephone. And the shoel is definitely making a mistake. If you have to once in a while, so at least say who you are. But what is he highlighting? This is more of a pastoral point, but I think it's true. One of the things that's lost, now, if you have your own post, like your own Rebbe, you don't lose this, right? If the person that you call is your Rebbe, right, and you and he could say to you, I'll call you back, so you, Dafka, haven't lost this. But the ability to globalize Pesach has meant that for a lot of people, they don't choose anybody. They just say, look, I don't have any rabbi identified with, I don't know the shul rabbi, so if I have a shayla and he's in front of me, I'll ask him, and I'll call this, I'll call the hotline, I'll call this, right? I'll ask online, I'll ask, shoot SMS, I'll ask, right? Shoot SMS is the biggest thing in Israel.
Shoot SMS.
Shoot SMS. Yes, literally. You know, there are people, shoot, right? Shayla v'tshuvot, SMS. Literally, right? Rav Aviner, Rav Shurlo, more in the modern world, they like answer like hundreds, thousands of shaylas like daily. They're getting it from like random people. So this is a loss, right? The fact that the dynamic that's been created, right? This is not a loss if you can reconstitute Mar Adasra, but it's a loss because the dynamic, the same dynamic that allowed creating globalized, right, post-Gim, where you have a relationship with an actual person, even if far away, creates the dynamic that people feel like they don't need to ask anybody, or they don't need to ask the same person, they don't need to have a relationship with the post-Gim, they just need to look for information. What if Hengen knows is there something lost there, which is it rushes the psak, it means that if a mistake is made, there's no taking it back. But I would add that one of the things that lost, and I think this is true even of a posek, your own personal posek, is that there still is something lost when you're not in person. Right? Part of psak is being able to read the mitzvahs. And if you know somebody, sometimes you can read them on the phone. But to be fair, it's still easier in person. Right? And there is something lost. Right? I think it's hard to deny that. That doesn't mean you can never ask a shayla on the phone. But I think we need to admit that the fact that things are now global means that, you know, if something's really painful and it's a shas atchak shayla, something that's lost on the phone. Right? If the answer is, it's usher, but if it's a shas atchak, it'd be legitimate to be mekil. If that's the right answer, right? Sometimes you talk to someone in person, they see that you're crying, right? They notice something, that there's something going on that they didn't see, right? They didn't understand there was an implication, right? Something, they'll get that in person. They won't get, and that is something I think that is lost, right? I think sometimes, now again, this doesn't mean that you have to have a local authority per se. It means that sometimes it's just worth asking in person. I think this is true of sensitive shaylas, right?
This is where you are far away from Israel.
No, for sure. I think there's clearly benefits, but I think my point is to also highlight the fact that there's a cost. Right? I think as much as we can legitimize the model, say it's good that we've realigned on ideological lines, I think that's also true. But to recognize the cost that A, sometimes it means we lose the relationship even with those post-skims. Sometimes it means that it opens the door for people to have no authority figure whatsoever. It makes it harder for post-skim to give the right psak to their community, being convinced that it will remain local. Right? There is these series of costs that I think happen, right? Again, and some of these could be solved. Right? The necessity of having somebody you can talk to face to face can be solved by also having a local posek, right? Because that could mean sometimes I'll call my rebbe and sometimes I'll talk to someone in person. But the fact that it opened the door to people not having any posek, and that it makes it hard for any posek to say something without having to look over their shoulder, that this is going to become a globalized psak, I think those are costs that are very hard to turn back. And they're very, very real. And they're very real, and I think we at least have to acknowledge that. And the cost of what that means, because at some level... Now, by the way, this is also one of those things that comes down to trust. Right? Meaning one of the things that, if you have a posek you really trust, one of the things that will allow you to get the answer that you need from your posek is that the posek can trust you to keep it silent. Right? Meaning a lot of these things come down to trust. Right? That these things work on trust and integrity, and if right, one, if you're going to, right, there are certain people who I know, right, certain poskim, they'll give kulot to certain types of people who they know will keep it to themselves and understand that they are what they're, right, they are under certain, right, it is under certain circumstances, and they shouldn't spread it. And other people, they just won't give that kulot to because God knows what's going to happen to that psak. It's going to be put online the next day, no matter how many times they said, this is just for you, never tell anybody. Okay, there's a bit of more interesting things going on in the Marash Dam here, but I'm gonna hold it off. But I think what I just wanted to do today was highlight the fact that we always have to remember that as much as things have changed, and sometimes inevitably, right, or irreversibly, right, we do have to at least acknowledge the ways in which that's affected l'tov l'ra. And again, for me, this is one of the things that I'm very, very sensitive to. Is on the one hand, I'm totally on board with this notion of an ideological community. But on the other hand, I feel the cost. I do think there is a cost to the fact that if we create only ideological communities and not geographic ones, maybe because of the fact that, yes, it gives you full autonomy, but more because I think there was a beauty to having solidarity in a community that's not based on, I already agree with you. And I think that is something that's lost, and that we should think about that fact when we say, my community is only my halachic identity community, rather than saying, you know what, certain things I'm going to do as a community with whoever happens to be around me. I think there is something that's lost there. I've made this argument in other contexts also. And part of it is, as I said, I think we have to at least be aware of the fact, because sometimes, and I'll end with this, certain people are very critical of rabbis, that they're afraid to give kulot. Right? What do you care? Poskim's right for your community. Right? But I think the reality is that the same dynamics... Right, this is just the reality. We have to be honest about the dynamic. Right, and some people want to pretend that it hasn't changed and say, let's go back to Marad Asra, let's give the authority back to the local rabbis. And I think that's true, but to deny the fact that there's a certain level which you can't go back and there are consequences to that, and you can't blame them. Not that they're afraid. I'm not saying they're... It's not... Right, some people will be cynical about it. Oh, they're afraid. Don't be afraid, be courageous. If it's the right answer, then give your community. And what happens to the community, who cares? Right? What happens to everybody else, if they want to misuse it, who cares? The answer is no, that's not what psak is. Psak, part of psak, right? The Gemara says that why do you need smicha? The main reason the Gemara says you need smicha is not to make sure that you know how to paskin, it's to make sure that you know how to convey information properly. Right? One of the main factors that the Gemara outlines is that they know that you're not going to mess up in how you see things. Right? Because you can know all the Torah in your head, you don't know how to articulate it, you're going to lead to people doing the wrong thing. I think people who want to pretend that we can just go back to a geographic model and not realize that the globalized model has influenced everything and the way authority has worked, with tovu l'ra, right, are just denying the fact that we have to respond. And I think that's just something you have to keep in mind. Okay, let's stop.